crazy. I knew he was going to hit that. I know it. It would go in. Welcome to the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Fantrax. My name is Josh Lloyd, and I am coming to you live from Las Vegas. As you can see, the background's a little bit different. The sound quality is probably a little bit different, as is the video quality, because I don't have all of my equipment here. I didn't bring everything over. Brought some of it, but not everything is the same. And you can probably, maybe you can't, but I can definitely hear this very, very annoying buzzing sound. So I do apologize for that. I can't get rid of it. What it seems to be is a power adapter converter issue, because it's all to do with that. Basically, it's none of the plugs in anything, it's just power. So as the power is converting, it's putting this funny buzzer sound through. So I apologize if it's doing your head in. It's doing my head in. Maybe I've got it out, maybe I've edited it out enough. You guys watching live, I obviously haven't. Maybe I've edited it out for the audio only version later on. I did mention that my name is Josh Lloyd, and I am coming to you live from Las Vegas after 2 days of the Las Vegas NBA Summer League. I also mentioned this podcast is brought to you by Fantrax. If you don't know what Fantrax is, well, why not? You should know what Fantrax is by now. Fantrax is the best place to host your fantasy leagues, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, whatever it is. Fantrax is the place to go. Fantrax is the place to host your league, because they've got the most customization. You've got free leagues, you've got premium leagues, you can do three-way trades, the leagues never shut down. So I saw a post today on NBA, the subreddit for fantasy basketball, saying, how do you guys in dynasty leagues perform your trades during the off-season? So we text each other, we email it through on a group thread. Mate, just join Fantrax, because you don't have to trifle with all this other bullshit. All you need to do is execute a trade as you would in season, because Fantrax never shuts down. It doesn't go out for 4 months, 5 months. You can run your trades. You can trade future draft choices. It's all available to be done on Fantrax, as everyone in the Red Rock Dynasty Leagues, the real salary ones, the 30-teamers, the original Red Rock Dynasty League, they're all on Fantrax. You all know the abilities that those leagues can have, and we've started choosing our draft slot selections for the Red Rock 30-team leagues as well, which has been fun. Okay, I'm going to go through the games that have been played. This, if you don't know the way that Summer League works, there's two courts set up next to each other, basically. One's called Thomas and Mack Center, which is the bigger arena. Then there's the Cox Pavilion, which is in the same building, but next to it's a bit smaller. They run staggered, half an hour, one starts, and then the next one starts. So you can't watch both. It's hard. You can go back and forth, but you can't watch whole games of both. So there are games that I haven't seen out of these games. I can obviously still do what I do during the regular season when multiple games are going on at once, go through the box scores and give you a bit of information, and from stuff from people I've talked about as well, about the performances of certain players. But the games that I've watched, obviously that's first-hand stuff, and also stuff that I've spoken about with other people as well. Quite a bit of information from what we can see has gone down in these first 2 days of Vegas Summer League. So
let's get to it.
Michael Bolton made his way across as well. He's come across. He's not going to let the podcast down. He's here to get us kick-started for the Vegas Summer League. Let's start with yesterday's games. Yesterday being, mate, I don't even know what day was yesterday. Thursday. Yes, I lived Thursday for 48 hours, so I apologize if my days are a little bit confusing. Thursday was the first day of Vegas Summer League. That's accurate, isn't it? No, it wasn't. Friday. I'm already confused. Friday. Well, today's Saturday, isn't it? Friday was the first day of Vegas Summer League. Today's Saturday. Let's go to Friday's game. So the first game that I'm going to talk about is one that I did watch a chunk of, not the whole game, probably the first half or so, and that is the Atlanta Hawks and the Houston Rockets. No, you know what? Scrap that. Not going to do that yet. I want to talk Dwayne Wade first. I'm sure plenty of you are interested in my take on Dwayne Wade. I have two takes. I have the fantasy point of view, and I have me as a frustrated Bulls fan point of view. As a frustrated Bulls fan, it just pisses me off no end that the Bulls would make moves to make themselves younger and more athletic. You're getting Jaren Grant, who I've been pronouncing his name incorrectly for a whole season. I was calling him Jerry, and apparently it's Jaren. Jaren Grant coming across with Jose Calderon and Robin Lopez for Derrick Rose. Cool, yep, fine, get yourself out of Rose, get some assets, build a young point guard, bring in Zipser, bring in Valentine. You have some extra ball handlers. really like the way. It's going to be a bad season. The Bulls are positioning themselves for a top pick in the draft. I like that. You all know what I think about the Rajon Rondo deal, about bringing him across. Yes, it's only a one-year deal. In theory, it's a set two-year deal if both sides agree to go on with it, but hopefully that's not the way it works out. I despise that deal because A, it takes the ball out of Jimmy Butler's hands. B, it takes minutes away from Jaren Grant. It takes minutes away from Denzel Valentine. And with Butler and Rondo there, how is Valentine? Valentine's going to have his best action with the ball in his hand and creating and passing and setting guys up, which with Rondo and Butler, he's not going to get that opportunity. Second unit, yeah, maybe. And then the Bulls, in an effort to really, really lock down that 8 seed, they went and signed Dwayne Wade. I understand the thought process of we need to make us seem like a free agent destination. Now, with a Wade at 34 years of age, other top-level free agents go, oh, Dwayne Wade in the twilight of his career. He went to Chicago. There must be some good stuff happening there. Foreman and Paxson, they've got it going on. I'm not sure if that's what Foreman and Paxson actually think. I'm pretty sure at this point they don't understand the realities of where they're sort of sitting in the NBA, but they're going to find themselves beautifully at that 14 to 15 draft slot next season and miss out on one of the most loaded classes in recent memory. Spoke to some people about it today. Spoke to many of you people would know Olga Nulich, who is the lead NBA reporter for Fox Sports Australia, and really switched on in terms of his scouting knowledge. And he says that this class is just loaded, and guys, there's just so many superstar. Well, there's legit superstar-level players coming into this draft. So I thought the Bulls, yep, hey, you know what? Maybe these additions will make the Bulls get worse. Maybe it's a stealth tank. I don't think Foreman and Paxson are that smart. Anyway, so Wade comes across. You have to trade away two 40% three-point shooters, Hazard Calderon and Mike Dunleavy. Yes, they're old. Yes, they're not athletic, but at least they can shoot. Now we're going to have a Rondo, Butler, Wade 1-2-3, or in whatever order that is. Three guys who need their ball in their hands a lot. Three guys who don't. Either don't shoot the three or don't shoot it well. And then you're going to have one guy that shoots the three in the starting lineup, and that's going to be Nikola Mirotic. The other guy is Doug McDermott, who plays no defense. That limits what he can do on the court. I don't know what the Bulls are going to do. I don't know. They think they're going to be interesting to watch, that's for sure. Not interesting good, but interesting how does this work? How does this fit together? For fantasy, it hurts Butler. Now, there was a chance with Rose gone that Butler would be a play that you'd consider at the end of the first round. It wasn't someone that I would have done last year. I didn't consider him at the end of the first round last year, and he didn't live up to that sort of expectation. This year, I would have been more on board with thinking, Butler, maybe you get him at 12. Maybe he's a 13. Maybe he's that sort of guy. Now, with Rondo hogging the ball, with Wade needing the ball in his hands and jacking up contested twos and Rondo dribbling the clock out, Butler's probably not going to be a third option, but he's definitely not going to be the 1, 2, and 3 option, which is what he would have been before. And that's going to take, it's going to make him pissed for a start. He's not going to be happy with it. He's not going to be happy with that style of play. And yeah, Rondo will set him up maybe with some assists, but he also, Butler's not a spot-up shooter. Butler needs to create, to have the ball in his hands, to get those shots that enable him to score. And his defense will still be fine because he's going to have to be, because he's going to be paired with Rondo and Wade. So he's going to need defense on that end. But his numbers surely won't be as strong as what they could have been, and they might take a dip from what we saw last season. Again, it's a real early take. I would have to go down and really dive into the numbers and look into it, but it's just not a good real-life situation. It's not great for Butler's value. Maybe the only person that helps is Mirotic, but let's be honest, Rondo did not help one single person on Sacramento last season. Not one person was better than they were the year before with Rondo playing with them. Rondo was just a massive... He's been a negative... And I've mentioned this the other day, I don't want to rehash too much. He's been a negative for a while. Wade, much better. And if it had just been isolated Wade, I would have been okay with it. But combining the two of them with Butler is not something that works out well for me. Yeah, Wade played 74 games this season. I'm not sure you can rely upon that again, especially when he's going to be 35 years old. Not sure. And yeah, that's the most he played for 6 years. Is that going to be something that's going to be a sustainable thing moving throughout his career? I'll guess no. Butler can't play 70 games in a season. Rondo's had his injury issues plus his disciplinary issues. It is just going to be a disastrous mess. I'm still banking on a big Mirotic season. I know plenty of people disagree with me on Mirotic, and plenty of people think that Taj Gibson is going to be the starter. If they start a lineup of Rondo, Wade, Butler, Gibson, Lopez, Paxson and Foreman may as well give it away. They might as well give it. If that's in their head, they might as well give it away right now, because as good as Taj Gibson is, He's 31 years old. He can't shoot. Like, what on earth are you trying to do? That's it. Bull soliloquy done. Let's move into Summer League. The Hawks and the Rockets was the first game I was going to talk about. Again, I didn't watch the whole game of this. My first takeaway is, Taurean Prince didn't play, but we did get to see DeAndre Bembry played, and he's listed as a small forward. He's a wing. Dude's not tall. He's not big. He's, and I made this joke on Twitter, so I'm sorry for rehashing it. He's like 6'5", 6'9", with the afro, but he's not tall, and he's not 6'5". I don't think he's 6'5". I walked past him today, and legit, he's my height, maybe an inch taller, so that's like 6'3". And that's not small, but it's not wing size. I don't know how he's going to be able to defend wings or threes in the NBA. They were running him as a point guard. He was taking the ball in transition. He was taking the ball inbounds plays. He was dribbling it up. He was setting up the offense. He was running as a point guard. And that was the big thing with Bembry coming out of college, is his ability to run as a ball handler and as a distributor from the wing. And that's fine. I think that's great. But with Bazemore there, what sort of value, or what sort of longevity? Will he replace Korver some of the time? Yeah, but we've got to see how Prince goes as well. So Bembry for Dynasty Leagues, it's a bit of a crowded situation. Korver's old. He's not going to be around for all that much longer, or at a high level. It's already sort of drop off, not at a high level. So Bembry is going to have some options coming up, but maybe it's Prince that takes those options. So Bembry, I don't mind him from a fantasy point of view. The first game against the Rockets, he played 27 minutes and went 14-6-4. They're pretty decent numbers, and we've seen over the course of time, and there was a study done on Draft Express, I think it was, that it showed the most, translatable statistic from Summer League to NBA production is assists. So that works out well for Bembry in that sense. The next guy on the Hawks that's really worth bothering with is Eddie Tavares. He played 23 minutes, he had 8 rebounds, hit a block, he's tall, cool. Obviously they lost Al Horford, they replaced him with Dwight Howard, so not much really changes on that end. Maybe Tavares starts to get a few more minutes this season, especially if Splitter can't stay healthy, but I don't know. Look, maybe a few years down the track, but he didn't show anything to get me overly excited. Bryce Cotton played, not much there either. And Lamar Patterson was the starting shooting guard. He actually had 6 assists, Patterson. The PA announcer kept calling him Peterson, which is, I think, pretty much every game that I've watched, the PA announcer has mispronounced a player's name. I'll try and highlight it in any game that I've seen. I'll try and highlight the mispronunciation. We saw Isaiah Cordinier make his debut. He had 5 points in 16 minutes. Not much there. On the Rockets side of things, it was just great to see Sam Decker back. He played 26 minutes. Didn't play at all last year in Summer League. Barely played at all during the season with that back problem. He looked really good. He's a lot bigger than what you might think. You might think that he's like a wing, a 3, maybe a small ball 4. He's not small. He's big. He's like legit 6'10". He looks like he can't play the 3. He's too slow for that to me. He scored 18 points here. Really efficient. 6 of 9 shooting. Hit a couple of threes, grabbed 4 boards. I think that he'll obviously have a bigger role this season than what he had last season. We don't know what the Rockets are doing in terms of Monte Yunus. They're not bringing back Terrence Jones. They've got Ryan Anderson as a starting power forward. But Decker's going to have to get some minutes this season. And he looks like a decentish guy, but it's really only ever going to touch the sides of deep leagues, I would say. The Rockets had a real interesting Summer League team. Mike Beasley played. Yes, Michael Beasley, who has been in the league 8 years, was playing in Summer League. It was just weird to see him there. He started off the game by taking the first 3 shots, and I went, here we go, it is a 50-pointer from Beasley. He ended up with 7 points. He did take 15 shots to get there, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. He's another guy that's in that mix for those power forward minutes along with Decker. Behind Anderson, he'll play a bit of 3 as well. Yeah, Beasley can score. We saw he had an interesting role at the end of last season. It didn't last all that long, so I'm not going to be putting a huge amount of stock in him playing a huge amount. Chinono Onwuaku is all right. He had a block in his 19 minutes. There's backup center minutes there, obviously, in Houston, with Clint Capela going to be the starter. Onwuaku's going to have to get some sort of minutes. He's not going to be ready for them, but he's going to have to play somewhat. Nene has been signed, so he'll most likely be the backup center, but we know Nene's injury history is not ideal. So Onwuaku's a guy to keep an eye on. His stats do translate pretty well from the... from where did he play? College, that's it. They translated well from college. his stats. So if for some reason he was pushed into extended action, he'd be a guy to take a look at. Now, I said I didn't see the whole game of that one because I went over to watch Minnesota and Denver, and that was a tremendous thing to watch. Chris Dunn looked superb. He played 35 minutes. He had a one-on-one battle with Emmanuel Mudiay nearly the entire game. Dunn went 27-5-2. He had three steals. He had a block. He had a three. He was out of control on defense. He had seven fouls. By out of control was he... What I mean is he just didn't have any ability to stop himself. He was hyperactive. He was super aggressive, like trying to block shots, go for steals, and that's how he got all these fouls. That's how he got the three steals and the block as well, by being aggressive, but he needs to obviously rein that in. He looked really, really good. He looked poised. The passing wasn't great. He wasn't at the best part of his... that wasn't the best part of his game. His scoring was good. He didn't hit his free throw as well, which is a worrying sign, going 6 of 10. He hit one of his 2 3-pointers. But overall, you'd have to say it was a pretty impressive performance from Dunn. And yeah, he firms as the number 3 guy probably in dynasty leagues, and probably in redraft leagues it's a bit risky because he's going to have to supplant Ricky Rubio. And yes, Thibodeau said that he will play them together, and he played with Tyus Jones in this one a lot, so there's a chance that Dunn carves out a 25 minute a game role, but I'm not sure that's going to be quite enough for him to be a player that's a must own player. I guess we'll see though. Jones, on the other hand, had 10 rebounds, which I think was unexpected, but he's now firmly in the number 3 point guard job. I still think that Jones has a future as a contributor for certain fantasy leagues. It's not going to be this season, obviously, as the 3rd point guard. Adrian Payne, just, look, he shouldn't be really in the league anymore. 17-5, yeah, 17 points, great, but he took 20 shots to get there. He can't finish around the rim. I don't think there's anything to really see with him. Not a lot else on the Timberwolves side. The Nuggets, a lot of these players on the Nuggets, they're too good. Why are they playing? Gaz Harris, 22-4-1 with 2 threes and 2 steals. He looked the best player on the court, even with Dunn going as well as he did. He was tremendous on both ends of the floor. He's a great defender. He is the starting shooting guard. Make no mistake, Jamal Murray is not taking that job off him. No chance that that is happening. He is... he's locked in, Gary Harris. He's really, really exciting to me as a player. You know that I liked him last year. I think his stats are going to take another leap forward this season, especially on a rate basis. Hopefully that kicks in. He looked really good. Mudiay looked great as well. 23-8-6, a 1-1 for Mudiay. You know, not ideal shooting, 1 of 6 from 3, but that's pretty much par for the course in summer league. But still, you know, 44% from the field. He tidied that up at the end of the season. He 6 of 12 on free throws is a disappointment, but his turnovers were an issue last year. But again, he tidied that up at the end of last season too. So that's the last game we're going to be seeing Mudiay here at Summer League. I really liked what I saw, but it's going to mean we're going to see more Jamal Murray, and we're going to be able to, and hopefully some more Jamal Murray at point guard, and we're going to see some Malik Beasley, which we didn't see in the first game as well. Fingers crossed. But Mudiay, it's going to be a risk with the free throw percentage. You've got to be able to deal with that, but I don't think the turnovers are going to be a concern really anymore, and the field goal percentage, I'm not really too bothered by that. I don't think that'll be a factor to dissuade me from drafting him. Murray, I think, is going to be really good. He still struggled a bit on defense. He went 14-6-2. A lot of people think that Murray was close to the 3rd or 4th best player in this draft. The Nuggets seem to have got a steal at pick 7. He played 28 minutes. I think we're going to see a little bit more from him with Mudiay out and potentially Harris out for the rest of this tournament as well. Juan Hernan Gomez, who they keep referring to as Juancho, which I'm not sure how I feel about Juancho. I really want to create a Juancho Man song. That would be ideal, but I don't have the audio capabilities or the vocal capabilities to record that, but you never know. 13-7 for Hernan Gomez. He looks... Yeah, like he's going to be a real decent stretch four. It's probably not going to happen this season, but he's going to be in the rotation. I'm pretty confident about that. And he's going to play somewhat of a role. And we know what the Nuggets do with international players, especially in their rookie seasons. So we could see a little bit more from Hernan Gomez. Peter Cornelius, who started as a center, he looked extraordinarily raw. Not much love there. Good to see Jakar Sampson still going around and playing 9 minutes in summer league. He really should not be on an NBA roster at this point. The next game I want to talk about, where are we? One of the first games that I saw was Milwaukee and Cleveland. I watched the majority of this game. The intrigue was obviously around Thonmaker and what he was going to do. He played 31 minutes, went 15-13, had 2 blocks and a steal. He's just really, really big. He's really long. He's really tall. He's super energetic. The offensive rebounds, he was smashing the glass, grabbed 6 offensive rebounds. Yeah, putbacks, just really focused, really having the ability, and something that's really good about that as well, and I said really a lot there, is that, you know, something that Maker was questioned with was his basketball IQ and decision making. But in this game, his decision making looked, you know, pretty decent. He was able to react to where the ball was going to go and get in position and fight for the rebound. So he's going to have a role on this team. No doubt about that. It's going to be as an energy big off the bench that plays 18 minutes-ish, maybe. But he could be a guy that's like a John Henson that comes in and plays 18 minutes and gets two blocks and impacts fantasy that way. His shot was off. He missed all four of his threes. He will get better with that. Interesting to see him tomorrow, but I really liked what I saw from Thon. Let's see how he turns out. Summer League legend Terran Petaway, who played for the Hawks last year, dropped 16-4 with three triples, 30 minutes. Looks like the Predator. Cool. He was the most mismatched colored guy I've ever seen. Green shoes, the wrong socks on. Not much to really talk about with him. Malcolm Brogdon was playing point guard for majority of this game for Milwaukee. He had 9-11 with three assists. He looked solid. He's never going to be a starter, I don't think, but he'll be a rotation player from day one. And his defense and his ability to handle the ball and his shooting capabilities will be pretty handy for this team. Rashad Vaughn, I don't buy Rashad Vaughn as a player. He went 4 of 16 in 31 minutes for just 9 points. He had the only player that was, the only player that was worse than him last year was Emmanuel Mudiay as rookies. He was really, really terrible and not much really changed. He didn't look great to me. On the Cavs, Kay Felder is just really small, super strong. They look really muscly. He went 14-3-5 with three steals. He's going to have a role. Mo Williams is the backup point guard. Maybe it's Jordy McRae, but he is more of a two. McRae did score 23-4-4 and had some big games at the end of the last season. He went to the line 17 times in this one, hit 16 of them. So that's obviously a huge performance from McRae. But McRae's going to be a guy that, in your real deep leagues, he will have a couple of games where he goes off. But it's the Cavs. There's not many openings for players to really really put together too much. But yeah, Felder and McRae, they showed enough. Felder 14-3-5 with three steals, a pretty decent outing in that first game. All right, before we head on to the next game, which is the Lakers' first game against the New Orleans Pelicans, just a quick minute for an ad from a friend of the podcast, and that is the Drive and Dish NBA podcast, which you guys might have heard of, but they're a really good NBA podcast, and they've got a little ad that's appearing on the show, so take a listen.
So we interrupt this great podcast that you're listening to. My name is Kevin Rafuse.
I'm Tim Tompkins.
And I'm Justin Cousart.
And we host the Drive and Dish NBA podcast.
We cover every team in the league and a bunch of really fun segments like Random NBA Player, Drive and Dougal, and Hot Takes from Reddit.
So when you're done listening to this podcast, give us a search on iTunes or whatever podcast streaming app you're listening on.
We're also at driveanddishpodcast.com. We are the Drive and Dish NBA podcast.
All right, so yeah, guys, check out the guys at Drive and Dish. They do a really good podcast over there, real fun stuff and informative as well. And I've been on their podcast before, and they do a great show. So make sure you are checking that out. All right, the Lakers first. I'm going to talk about the Lakers second game later on. The first game, I think the first thing I want to talk about, mainly because I'm a massive fan of Ivica Zubac, who looked really, really good in the first game. Didn't look quite as good in the second one, but looked sensational here. 28 minutes, 11-5. He had three blocks. He blocked Buddy Hield, I think once or twice on one possession, actually. He looked really, really good. And I said it at draft time. I said it after Timofey Mozgov signed, that there is a legit chance that Zubac is the starting center by the end of the season. The only people in front of him are Tariq Black and Tim Mozgov. And Zubac, you know, all his translations came across really well statistically. So I'm super excited to see exactly what... exactly what he can do if he's given an opportunity. He's really young. He got his face sat on by Jeremy Grant today with a massive dunk, but still 11-5 in that first game, showed really solid touch, hit all five of his free throws in that game as well, and it was just a really encouraging performance for a guy that you get picked at pick 31 or 32, wherever it was. You shouldn't get talented players there. He's a guy that should never have gone at that spot, but he was still really good. Now, today, he wasn't as good. He had 7 points only. He blocked a shot. He still had 8 boards, but wasn't quite as good with his touch. 3 of 7 from the field. But still, I would have to say that I've come away really impressed with Zubac. He's going to be a player. He will be a starter at some point in his career. I'm convinced it might be for two or three seasons, but he is a guy that I've taken him in my own Dynasty League draft, and I'm really excited to see what he can do. D'Angelo Russell in the first game, 20, 11, and 6 with 3 steals. He was half-assing it a lot of the time, really struggled early on, still had 5 turnovers, but was decent. I don't really know why he's playing in Summer League, to be honest, at the moment. Even in this second game, he struggled a lot with his shot, 8 of 20, but still had 22 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists, including 2 just massive 3-pointers, including the game-winning 3 in that second game against the Philadelphia 76ers. Also, probably, you know, top 5 cocky NBA players who hasn't really proven it yet, but the ice in the veins celebration after the game. Hey, the crowd for that. The first Lakers game, the crowd was pretty crazy. The second one, out of control. That was so... Seriously, it felt like the Lakers had won the championship. There was people out of... Every time Brandon Ingram took a three, the Lakers fans stood up before he even took it. They were that pumped. And when Russell hit that three, it was out of control. It was the funnest, shittest game I've ever seen. It was so poorly played, bad shooting, just horrible turnovers, and then game-winning threes. And in between the two threes he hit to get them back into the lead, and then to win the game, he let TJ McConnell just blow past him as he was celebrating to get a layup to put the Sixers back up, to give D'Angelo Russell a chance to win the game. But still, I reckon Russell's going to be a very good fantasy player this season. A huge leap forward. He's still got a lot of struggles. The shooting's still not great. The turnover's still not great. He's got a chance to be really good. I'm still not utterly convinced because of his somewhat lack of athleticism, but he's bloody big, man. He's 6'5". He can just sit guys on their ass, which he did today, I think, to McConnell. Put him into the post. Ass into him. McConnell was bet down on his own ass after that. Russell's got some pretty unique talents. So pretty good to see him. Larry Nance has looked really good. 11-9 in the first game with 2 blocks and a steal. Hit a 3. In the second game, he was just on fire. Crazy dunks. 13-8. 4 assists. 7 steals and 4 blocks. That is a ludicrous fantasy line. 13-8-4-7-4. That is out of control as a fantasy line. And I've never been a big Julius Randle fan, as you've known from listening to this podcast. I'm not the only person saying it, and maybe it's a bit hyperbolic, but Julius Randle is legit in a little bit of trouble. Now, he's not going to lose the starting job this season, and if he does, it's going to be to Luol Deng. But Nance is developing at a huge rate now. Maybe if Randle was playing, he would go, "Well, look what Randle's developed." Maybe Randle's developed some shooting. But at this point, Randle can rebound. He can't defend. He can't pass, he can't hit threes, he can't shoot. And Nance isn't a great shooter, but he's shown off that he can sort of hit a shot. He's just crazy athletic, super energetic, and also just the nicest bloke you'll ever see. He goes around to everyone at the before the game, just says hello, jumps in chairs next to reporters, "Hey, how you going?" He initiates conversation. I was almost going to go up to him and just start having a conversation. He was that into it with everyone. Maybe I'll do it next time I see the Lakers play. But he just looks like an absolute ripper bloke. And not saying that Randle isn't, but Nance is just genuinely loved by the Laker fan base and the Laker people and the media people as well. Really have a lot of nice things to say about him. And that defensive versatility, he's going to get in the mix. Now, the addition of Deng and obviously Ingram playing some four is going to be really weird to see how they run this situation. But there's a chance that Randle is capped under 30 minutes a game because they need to get Nance into the action. And that's something that I don't think many people would have saw coming. And I'm not a Randle fan. Brandon Ingram started his first game, had 12-4, had a steal and 2 blocks, and looked pretty good. He is the thinnest person I've seen in my life. He is 6'9-ish, 6'10. His legs, I don't even know how to describe it. They're like those twiggy sticks that you buy from a deli. He is just, his thigh is the same thickness as my forearm, and I don't have Popeye forearms. He is just sticks up and down. He is going to get bashed, and not in a bad way. He is going to get bashed up in the NBA. Even here, like, he might make a move to get past someone and was able to get post position, but one little bump on him, he just loses balance because he's so frail. And I don't mean frail as a derogatory thing. He's just bloody thin. He needs to eat so much, and he doesn't need... Look, he's never going to be Gershon Yabusele and be this man mountain, but he needs to be bigger than what he is because he's not going to be able to get his shot off in the NBA. And that's the concern I have with Ingram. He will be overdrafted. I guarantee you he will be the second rookie off the board, and he should not be the second rookie off the board. He will probably play close to 30 minutes, but again, the Deng situation. Deng will probably start over him, and Ingram won't be a positive fantasy influence until maybe February, maybe January. And it's not something I want to invest a top 100 pick in a redraft league, so just be aware of that. His second game was it was fairly putrid. He had 7 points on 3 of 12 shooting. He had 4 rebounds, and that's the problem. No steals, no blocks, 1 assist. If the shot doesn't fall, he's just not going to do enough for you. And we all know how much rookies do struggle with their shooting, so don't expect much more of that from Brandon Ingram. Zach August looked pretty handy. Maybe he earns himself a roster spot. Who knows? And where are we? Let's look at the New Orleans Pelicans. Bud Hield struggled, 13-6 on 20 shots. 1-3, 2 assists. He went 5 of 20. His go-to move doesn't work in the pros. The sort of push-off, step-back, three, it doesn't work. He can't get the separation. And again, like I mentioned with Ingram, if he can't shoot, if he can't get the space to shoot, what else does he offer? He was really poor in this game. And again, it's the first game of Summer League, so it doesn't matter. But when what you see in the first game marries up to what you thought might be a problem and what other people thought might be concerns, that is the real issue with me with Hield. He's going to get minutes because who else is getting minutes at the two in New Orleans? So by that sort of essence, he should be the second fantasy guy off the board. And you put up with Chris Dunn. But if you knew that Chris Dunn was going to get equivalent minutes to Hield, then Dunn's the guy that I'm taking. Hield's still going to be a pretty valuable fantasy guy. But as with most rookies, he will probably go 10 spots higher than what he should. I wouldn't want to take him inside the top 75, but you get the feeling that people are going to sell them. It depends on sort of what he does here, I guess, to a degree, and in preseason. But people will be going, oh, he's going to get minutes. Yes. And is he going to deliver me 2 threes a game? Probably not. But people might anticipate that from him, and they also might look at his scoring. So he is a guy that I'm a little bit concerned about, and I was concerned about heading into this. Not much else to talk about on the Pelicans, apart from Cheick Diallo, who the PA announcer called Cheick. Definitely not Cheick. 11-7 with 3 blocks. He, much like Onwuaku in Houston and Zubac at the Lakers, he translates really well statistically. And who's in front of him? Omar Asik, who actually played pretty well for Turkey, but we know how poor he was during the last couple of regular seasons. Alexey Ajinsa. I like Ajinsa, but maybe he's not the center they want to play next to Davis. Davis is the center. That's what they should be doing. That's what they're not doing. So maybe Diallo can get some minutes, but blocked a couple of garbage time shots, but look like he can be a bit of a rim protector, and that could be an athletic rim protector, which is not something that Asik is. So he's an interesting guy to have a look at. The D-League took on Memphis. I didn't see any of this game, but Andrew Harrison was really good, 23-4-4 in 25 minutes, and Jermichael Green only had 8 points in his 17 minutes. Green, you would hope, will get somewhat of an extended role with Zach Randolph getting a little bit older, but not sure he's really cut out for it. Deontay Davis, we haven't seen play yet as he's dealing with some foot problems, some fasciitis. Hopefully we see him during the week, which it looks like we will. And Wade Baldwin, I must make sure I sit down and watch some Memphis. Didn't see Memphis today either, actually, because they were on at the same time as the Sixers, but I will make sure I check out Memphis in their fourth or even their third game. That'll be the ones I'll be looking at, because I haven't seen that game yet, but I will get to that second game in a second. Sacramento and Toronto, didn't watch any of that one either yesterday. Again, it was in the opposite gym to where I was watching Lakers Pelicans. The Kings got pummeled. Scalabissier played some point guard, 7-8 with 2 blocks. Georgios Papianis, he's out with some knee pain. Hopefully we get to see him play at some point. We didn't yet. Malachi Richardson, I'm not a fan. And Cauley Stein, he shot terribly, 2 of 10. The whole team shot terribly. Don't really see why Cauley Stein is here. Much like on the other side of things over with the Raptors, I'm not sure why Normie Powell's playing. He had 13-7-5 with 3 triples and 2 steals. He is going to be a significant rotation player this season, and he'll probably sneak into 14-team leagues. The depth chart ahead of him is the only thing keeping him away. Bruno looked solid as well, 11-5 with 3 triples. Nice performance there. D'Lon Wright went 4-5-6 in 18 minutes. And I still think that D'Lon Wright can be a decent player. And Pascal Siakam, I wanted to see what he'd be like. Didn't get a chance because he was injured. And I was watching the other game, but he apparently was looking really good. 12 points in his 15 minutes. A really efficient performance from Pascal. let's have a look at some of the games from today. Now, that's all the action from yesterday. We'll go through it. We've already talked a bit about the Lakers from today, so let's have a look. Let's talk Phoenix and Portland. And the first thing that we need to talk about with Phoenix is, of course, Dragon Bender.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
Exactly. I'm going to use that as a continuing drop for Bender. Maybe I think I'm going to nickname him the robot. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. I think we'll go with the robot. Or do we go with Rodriguez? That's a very deep future. Oh, maybe it's not that deep. It's a Futurama joke. But no, let's just go with the robot. So the robot played 30 minutes today. He had 12.7 rebounds. He had 2 steals. He had 1 of 7 from 3. But every single shot that Bender took, it just looked like it was going to go in. He looked like he was one step ahead of everyone else in terms of thinking about what he was going to do, when he was going to do it. He took CJ Fair off the dribble and just blew by him. And legit, he's the biggest man on the court, Bender. He played at the 3. He's 7'1". They had Chris and Alan Williams at the 4 and the 5. Bender played at the 3. He took guys off the dribble. He made passes. He dribbles the ball up. He's going to be really, really good. If he was able to get 30 minutes this season, you'd want him in the top 100. In a dynasty, he's got to be a top 4 guy. I think you probably have Simmons, Dunn, Ingram in dynasty as the top 3, and then I'd really be looking at Bender as the 4th guy. He has got such ability, and he looked, again, I'll throw the absolute caveat out there, is that it's summer league, but you can see things. You could see when you could see last season when
Porzingis
was out that you knew that this kid gets it. He's going to be a player. And it turned out in Karl Anthony Towns, he didn't play that well, but you go, this kid's got it. He knows what he's doing, and he's going to be good. And you can see the same thing with Bender. I don't know what Devin Booker was playing. He had 28 points. He had 19, I think, in the third quarter. Went 11 of 21. He had 8 rebounds, 6 assists. He also had a lot of fouls. I'm not sure why he was playing, but he was fine. Don't think we'll see much more of him. Tyler Ulis, legit the smallest person I've ever seen in an NBA game, except then Pierre Jackson comes out and they're the same size. But Ulis, when they were warming up, I thought he was a ball boy. They're all wearing the same gear, just this white shirt. Oh, cool, who's this guy? And then he goes and takes it off and joins the team. Oh, cool, he's the smallest player. I could not believe it, but he's so in control. He had 7 assists, he had 5 rebounds, 11 points. Hits the mid-range shot pretty well. He can hit a 3 as well. He didn't take any in this game, but he can do it. Ulis is going to be a troublesome backup point guard for some teams to deal with because he, again, he's smart. He knows what he's doing. He can hit that pull-up on a mid-range shot, and I think he's going to be decent. Marquise Chris, just superb athleticism, but just no idea what he's doing with it at this point. 4 points only, 2 of 10 shooting. He grabbed 6 boards, which is better than what we saw from him in college. Really a terrible rebounder. He's going to block shots. We know that. Didn't have any here, didn't have any steals, but he's super athletic. To me, Bender is ahead of him at this point, even though we talk about how long we're going to have to get Bender to develop. He's ahead of where Chris is at this stage, and he translates a lot better as well fantasy-wise. So if for some reason the Suns go, we're going to start Chris, which I don't think they're going to want to do, but if they decide they're going to start Marquise Chris, then he wouldn't be someone that would be interested in fantasy. Alan Williams, just a real badass. He just laid someone out on a screen, and for all you AFL fans, he delivered a legit hip and shoulder, tucked the elbow in, and just planted this guy. I think it was CJ Fair. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Luis Montero, just square in the face, just knocked the absolute living shit out of him. And there was almost a brawl in this game as well. Noah Vonleh and Tyler Ulis almost started punching on. Just chill out, man. It's the first game of Summer League. It's Saturday afternoon in Vegas. Just calm your tits. Probably don't need a punch on. But it was pretty interesting to see. Not much else from the Suns' point of view. On the Blazers, there wasn't really a huge amount to say there. Noah Vonleh still not good. 12 points, 11 rebounds. Although he started off terribly, he got better as the second half went on. But he should be better. He's a third-year player playing in the Summer League. And he still doesn't look great to me. He had a steal, he had a block. I'm not convinced that this guy is ever going to be a starter-level player. Luis Montero, he was okay. Oh, Pat Connaughton was a guy I was interested in. He was really athletic, had 2 blocks, and he's not a big man at all. 14 points, 3 rebounds. He will work himself into some rotation minutes. Pierre Jackson and Russ Smith, both on the same team. Those guys do enjoy shooting. 11 points apiece for those guys. And Jake Lehman with one of the dunks of Summer League over Marquise Chris on a breakaway. Huge, huge dunk from Jakey Lehman, but not a lot to really like with him. Could not get his shooting going whatsoever. Let's move on to the next game. Cleveland, Brooklyn, didn't see a single one of this one because I wanted to stay in Cox Pavilion all day. Well, not all day for the first two games, and Cleveland was going on there. Felder, not quite as good as his debut, 6-4, but did have 6 steals, and that's 9 combined steals for Kay Felder in the two games. Jordy McRae had 5 steals in this one as well, and he had 27 points. You would think that McRae is going to work himself into some rotation minutes this season. Really, just he's a really good scorer, but the assists were there in the first game, got the steals. They're doing a couple of extra little things as well. Not much else to report on the Cavs side of things. On the Nets, Rondé, 3 points only 24 minutes. 8 boards, 4 assists, 7 steals, though, for Rondé Hollis-Jefferson. He's not going to be a guy that influences your scoring category, but rebounds for a small forward is going to be there. You know, the steals, he'll get some blocks. 4 assists is nice. He'll play close to 30 minutes a night this season, and he might get 10 or 12 points from him. Chris McCullough, 9 points and 8 boards. Really excited to see him. 2 steals and a block as well. Can't wait to see the Nets in the next game. And what an odd sentence that is to say. Sean Kilpatrick drops 19 points. That is what Kilpatrick does. He played 21 minutes. That is just an NBA regular season line for him. 19 points in 20 minutes. That's all he did last season. Yeah, great source of points, but does nothing really else. Yogi Ferrell had 7 points and 4 assists. Not a bad performance from him as well. Let's look at the next game. Now, which was a game that I did watch the entirety of, and that is the Celtics and the Bulls. Lots of prospects in this one. Jaylen Brown, not at his best, I think that's fair to say. He had 9 points, he had 1 rebound, 1 steal, no assists. You're really athletic. Hear a lot of good things from him, from scouts, and just in terms of what his ability is, but a lot of what he was able to do through high school and college was based on his power, and he doesn't have that advantage in the NBA, so he needs to get better at shooting. He hasn't looked great so far. I still maintain that Bender would have been the best pick here for the Celtics, but they went with Brown. He's definitely not a fantasy option for this season. He should be well down your dynasty ranks as well. Gershon Yabusele, who, as the PA announcer called him until he was corrected at the end of the first quarter, Yabusele. Which are, yeah, pretty humorous. Learn to pronounce the names. It's clearly not Yabusele. Anyway, 10 points for Yabusele, 7 boards, 2 steals, a block, just a man mountain. He started hitting threes. He had back-to-back threes at one point. I really like the look of him, but the Celtics, it depends what they do with Sullinger and what they do with Zeller. You would appear that, or think that both those guys will be out of there, or at least one of them will be. Jordan Mickey didn't really provide much. A block, 5 points. Really like what Yabusele's done. Really like what he did in the Utah games as well. And I think that, you know, they're already stashing Ante Zizic, which I really wish they brought Zizic across. They're not doing that, though. He's remaining in Europe. So Yabusele might have an option to get onto the roster and play some rotational minutes. And I think he can be a fantasy factor, as much as someone who gets 15 minutes a night is a fantasy factor, but he could be. Terry Rozier looks solid again, 13-5-2. I think he's going to develop into a really nice point guard. Probably not a starting level point guard, but probably a sixth man level is where he gets to. RJ Hunter hit a couple of threes, did nothing else apart from that. And Abdul Nader, I didn't know how good he was going to be, but he looked okay, and his ability to drive was good. His shooting was average-ish, doesn't do much defensively, but he played okay. On to the Chicago Bulls. Someone needs to tell Bobby Portis just to settle down, because yeah, it's summer league. I just get the feeling that Bob Portis goes home and just screams at everyone. I don't know if he's got a girlfriend, I don't know if he's got a wife, I don't know if he lives with someone. I'm sure he goes home and walks in the house. No, doesn't just go, yeah, how you going? I reckon he goes, how you going? What's for dinner? The guy is just permanently wired. They did the national anthem. For a start, they're doing the national anthem for a summer league game, which just spins me out. Anyway, that's a separate point. National anthem's in Australian sports. It happens at the grand final. That's it. Doesn't happen anywhere else. Here we're getting them before every summer league game. Anyway, that's beyond the point. National anthem goes. He comes out. The anthem finishes. He punches himself in the chest 3 times and then does a double bull's horns on his head and then fires them off into the crowd. Like, settle down. Oh, it's great. You've got energy. But I worry that he's going to burn himself out in his life, because he's not going to be able to switch off. He sits in bed and probably just gives himself bull's horns up to the ceiling. With he's probably got a mirror on his roof so he can see himself giving bull's horns. He was super into it, 17-13, 4 offensive boards, looked really good. He's going to get rotation minutes, there's no doubt about that. I'd love to see them play him at center a lot this season. You know, play him as the primary backup behind Robin Lopez. Get him some backup 4 behind Mirotić and Taj Gibson. he's going to have to play more minutes. He's not going to approach 30, but he should be able to get 20 minutes a night here. And you know, Gibson might find himself on the way out if Portis can show up. But really, really solid showing here. Denzel Valentine started off well, didn't end up that well, only had one assist, which was in the first 20 seconds, had 8 points on 4 of 16 shooting, missed all 9 of his threes, 6 boards, 2 steals. I don't think he's going to... Look, he would have been a great fantasy contributor if he was in a role where he could be, but unfortunately, with Wade, with Rondo, with Butler, with Grant, he's just not going to get the ball enough. Now, Jerian Grant looked all right. He hit 2 threes, took 8 attempts, but he's going to have to really work on that. 14 points as well. The Bulls not doing a huge amount in terms of distributing. Spencer Dinwiddie, a very large point guard. He just reminds me a lot of Sean Livingston. 10 points for Dinwiddie. He was cut by the Bulls, so not much to look at there for the season. And Cristiano Felizio went 6-5 and racked up fouls at an incredible rate. He will be an interesting rotational piece for the Bulls this season as well. But I definitely would prefer if we could get Portis into the rotation ahead of him. The next game we're going to look at is the Jazz and the Wizards. Not a huge amount there. Again, this was a game that I didn't get to see because I was watching the Celtics and the Bulls. Not many prospects on show. Kelly Oubre looked good, 20-8 though. Talked to someone who's really high on Oubre developing. He had 4 steals. His defense looked pretty good, and he was pretty athletic. So he's a real buy-low candidate in dynasties. But speaking to a few people that I spoke to today, they think there's a bit to come from Kelly Oubre. So get on him and see if you can get him at a bargain basement price. Not much else there. Aaron White, who was a second round pick last season, he started. He scored 9 points. Sheldon McClelland, undrafted player, didn't do a huge amount. Let's see if he backs it up in the second one. Trey Lyles, another guy. Why are you playing? 33 minutes, 28 points, 5 rebounds, an assist. I told you how good this guy is. He should be the backup for this season, the first big off the bench. They've got some other guys in there to compete with him, but he is that good, Trey Lyles, that he's going to develop into a player that, yeah, at some point might necessitate him being traded, or a Derek Favors trade, or a Rudy Gobert trade. Who knows how the Jazz want to handle it, but Lyles is legit. Lyles is a legit starting prospect, a stretch four who can pass, who can handle the ball, who can shoot, who can score. Really, really solid guy. Very, very interested in seeing how he develops. Marcus Page, second round pick, had 5 points. Joel Bolenboy, the hero of my draft podcast, he went scoreless in his 10 minutes, unfortunately. And then we move on to I talked about the Lakers side of things in that Lakers-Sixers game. Let's talk about the Sixers side of things. Ben Simmons. I tweeted out yesterday that is Ben Simmons a top 5 passer in the league? I reckon I may have even undersold him. His passing is just... It's on a level that we haven't seen from any rookie player. His passing is that good that everyone knows that he doesn't want to shoot. He gets that close to the rim, and his dribbling's really good too. He can take guys off the dribble, spin moves, does them in half court, does them in the paint, gets in close, and he's that close to the rim that everyone goes, he's going to shoot, and then he passes it to a guy that's flying down the lane for a putback. He does these dump-offs that if it's Jahlil Okafor, it's going in every time. And you know I'm not an Okafor fan, but you give him a putback off, you give him a dump-off off a Simmons pass in the lane, it's going in every time. And he just needs to get some shooters around him. At the moment, he's dishing it to Source Castillo and guys like TJ McConnell, who aren't great three-point shooters. Not saying the Sixers have got any great three-point shooters on the roster, but a guy like Jared Bayless out there, the passing that Simmons is doing is just, it is ludicrous. And then finishing him off to Okafor, even Noel down low, it is going to be insane. Now, he was only 3 of 8 shooting. He missed a pretty easy lay-in at one point as well. Only 8 points, but 10 boards, 8 assists, and 3 steals, and 2 blocks. He's going to have a 5x5 at some point in his career. He's going to be, he looks just really, really good. There's tons to work on, but when you come in off the bat averaging 8 assists to literally some of the poo that's playing on your roster, it's a pretty decent sign from a guy like Simmons. Now, the Sixers have rolled out a starting lineup that legit could be a starting lineup for them in the NBA. They had Jeremy Grant, they had Source Castillo, Rashawn Holmes, and TJ McConnell was their starting lineup. Grant had just a vicious dunk on Zubac, one of the dunks of summer league ever. 10-6 for him. He didn't do a huge amount apart from a big dunk. Holmes has looked good, but there's no playing time for him. He had 4 blocks in this one. If I'm another team and I'm engaged in Okafor Noel talks, then I'm getting Holmes thrown in because he's not getting any playing time here, especially now with Dario Saric coming across, who was MVP of the Olympic qualifying tournament, and Joel Embiid being healthy. How's Holmes getting minutes? He needs minutes. He can develop into a really good energy big off the bench, a real rim protector and a defensive difference maker. I think there's a lot to like about him. TJ McConnell, he was solid. He almost had the game-winning layup, 12-4-6. Yeah, pretty decent point guard, and just adds into that point guard rotation of guys who are all below average, but decent enough. My boy Timotei Luwawu-Cabarro, who is developing a sensational chemistry with Simmons. Lots of Simmons passes go his way. He had 10 points. He didn't do a huge amount else, but he's gonna be a rotational guy this season as well. Like him as well for dynasty leagues. Denver and Memphis. Did not see this game today, but we'll go through and see exactly what went on. Hernan Gomez, not great. 6 points, six rebounds. Only played the 18 minutes here. As I mentioned, no Emmanuel Mudiay. So we've got the Jimmer Fredette experience. He scored 26 points. He was a plus 38. Don't really think we need to worry too much about Jimmer for fantasy next season. 6 points for Jamal Murray on 2 of 11 shooting. Not his best night, but did get four assists with Mudiay out, and that is the benefit of having a guy like that around. Still no Malik Beasley, no Gaz Harris, and I don't think we're going to be seeing Gaz back again. On the Grizzlies, Wade Baldwin had 10-4-2 in his 23 minutes. Not a great line there. 7-2 for Jermichael Green, and Deontay Davis still out with that foot injury. Two more games to cover. The Dallas Mavericks and the Miami Heat. A pretty comfortable victory for the Mavericks in the end over the Heat. We look at what the Mavericks were able to do. Justin Anderson, 19-6-2. When Parsons left, I thought, you know what, Anderson's a real chance here and he's going to be a fantasy asset. The pencil coming across Harrison Barnes is going to dent that, but Anderson's going to play a much bigger role than what he did this season, definitely. So look for him in your 20-team leagues, and he is a player who I think can develop into a low-end starter, whether it's on this team or on another team will remain to be seen. Gibson for this team had Jonathan Gibson had 30. He got really red hot, 12 of 19 shooting, and that's the sort of performance that makes teams sit up and take notice and have a look at guys that you need to sign to contract. Actually, one more thing. I was sitting next to a Celtics scout today. Bob Portis was the name that he had circled in the roster. So that's just something to keep an eye on. Interesting. The Miami Heat. No Joshy Richardson, no Justice Winslow. Not sure if these guys are going to... Winslow, maybe not a standard league guy. Joshy Richardson, with no Dwayne Wade, he will be standard league draftable, and he will be a guy that you get in, hopefully, those last couple of rounds, who's got a real opportunity. Winslow, you probably take a flyer on as well, with no Luol Deng, no Joe Johnson. These guys are going to have to handle 30-plus minutes, and they're going to have to handle a much bigger offensive load. Not that Richardson didn't have a pretty decent load last season, but Winslow didn't, and he's going to have to step up. But we didn't see them in this action. The final game of the night was the Spurs and the Warriors. Spurs, again, with a buzzer beater here from John Simmons, who had 7 points. Not his greatest night, but not bad. Kyle Anderson, why are you still playing in Summer League? 14-8-2 with two steals and three blocks. He was MVP last season. He's probably going to be MVP again. Katie Lalanne, who was a second-round draft choice of the Spurs last season. He started at center, grabbed 9 rebounds. Maybe with Boban gone and with Tim Duncan maybe not returning. Dwayne Dedman is now in town, but maybe Lalanne gets signed this season and gets himself some money. Still haven't seen Davis Bertans or Livio Jean-Charles. They did not appear in this game. They will likely be there for the next contest. For the Warriors, the name that we all wanted to see how he performed was Patrick McCaw. He had 14-4-2. He had a steal. He had two blocks. He's going to fit right in. He's going to be a rotational player from day one. How big a role that is remains to be seen, but he will get minutes pretty much straight away, and he will be a fantasy contributor if he's ever pushed into a bigger role. Now, on that team, that feels like it's almost impossible, but it's something to keep an eye out for. We didn't see any Damian Jones. He's got a torn pectoral muscle. We're not going to see him at all. We did see the return of Ogden Kuzmic, though. He had 2 points in his 16 minutes, as I'm sure you all care so much. That is it for my Summer League impressions at this point. I will be... had a few chats today, again, to a few people, just to try and get some insider-ish information. I'm going to be doing a little bit more talking over the next couple of days. This internet is obviously going to, here at this hotel, is probably going to piss me off, so I'm not sure how much I'll be doing the live YouTube stuff, so I apologize if you normally listen or watch on YouTube that it's not going up there. There will be, I would say, one more podcast from Vegas, and then... maybe I'll pack away the work equipment and have a little bit of a holiday for a week or so. But I reckon you'll get one more Summer League podcast later on, or middle of the week would be my guess. And if you have anything specific you want me to look at Summer League, I've got Thon Maker back on deck for the early game tomorrow. Anyone you want me particularly to look at and give a report back on, please let me know and I can tweet it back at you, and I can also mention it on the podcast. All right, guys, we are done today. I think we're done. have done everything we need to do. We're done. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.